On Friday, we have a film screening of Witness, a documentary film about the RF Hossein sting case in Albany from 2003 to 2004. And it follows the defendants, Yassin RF and Mohammed Hossein, in their memories of the events leading up to the arrest and subsequent years. And joining us now is Yassin RF's daughter, Ala Muhideen.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. You were a child when this FBI sting was taking place. How old were you, and what are your memories of the events?
I think I was 8 years old, and my memory of the event, the very first night that this happened, the very first night that my father was arrested, he was arrested, I think, maybe at 10 or 11 p.m. Coming back home from the masjid, he was the imam, so he was leading the night prayers. We as children were all asleep by then. Sometime around 2 a.m., I remember my mom like shaking me to wake up and telling me, hey, get up, we have to go. And there was two ladies next to her who I didn't recognize, two women. We are like clumsily going down the stairs. We come outside, and when we came outside, there was at least 20 fully armed FBI officers, big guys, big guns, big dogs. They had their dogs with them, and we were just really confused. Halfway asleep, they put us in a car. They drove us to a hotel. They were interviewing my mother all night. She did not sleep at all. In the morning, they woke us up, and well, we woke up on our own. They took us back home all day, reporter after reporter after reporter, and we had no idea what was going on at first. My mom wasn't really letting us come out, so she would go out and speak to the reporters on her own. She didn't know that she had the option to not speak to the reporter. She just thought that she was supposed to answer questions as they were coming along. At that day, it was summer. And that day, we were actually supposed to go to Great Escape, the amusement park here in the Capital District. It's a Six Flags park. Mm-hmm. So we're all wondering as kids, where's dad? And my mom told us that he went on a trip with his friends. He will be back in a few days. So we were very angry with him, because he was supposed to take us to Great Escape, and now he went away with his friends, or at least that's what we thought. Mm-hmm. But then we kept sneaking downstairs, and we're hearing words that kind of, we have no idea what they are, like terrorists, and we're also hearing words like arrested, prison, jail. So we kind of put two and two together, and we asked our mom, is dad in jail? And she said yes. Said why? She says she doesn't know. Today, if you ask her, I think she doesn't know. And I think my dad doesn't know. And I think none of us like really know. We know the details of the case, but why my dad was in jail, he should not have been. So there is no really good answer to the question why. But We put two and two together that he was in jail. We had no idea why. And finally, one of our neighbors came sometime in the afternoon, and he told my mom, he's like, you don't have to speak to these reporters. Do you want to speak to them? And she said, no. And he told them all, get lost. And my mom just broke down in tears. We went upstairs, and then guests started coming, just so many guests. I feel like every single Muslim person in the Capital District visited us, offering sympathy, kind words. Everybody knew that this was absolutely ludicrous, crazy. Even 15 years later, when my dad was released, and actually after he was released, he had spent 9 months in ICE detention, but after that, when he was finally released and made it to Kurdistan, we maybe had thousands of guests, honestly, like no exaggeration. And from all of those thousands of guests, everybody thought that this was the most ludicrous, ridiculous thing they have heard of. And you would just think, if the guy has violent tendencies, if he really is a terrorist, wouldn't somebody out of all of these friends and family, wouldn't somebody know? Wouldn't somebody just be like, oh, yeah, that's plausible. Mm-hmm. But everybody who knew him just thinks it's insane.
So that is a lot.
From what I remember, yeah. From what I remember, a couple of weeks after the arrest, my dad was released on bond. He came back in a limousine, literally, like, heroes, welcome back. We were so happy. We thought my dad is back. He was on bond for a certain number of months, and then the judge broke his bond for no reason. He just decided to break his bond the night before my birthday. So Before that, every night of my birthday, my dad would always come home and he would have a small gift for me. a doll or a bear, a remote control car, something like that. That night, he didn't come, and I would usually be sleeping by the time he would come home from work. So he would usually wake me up to give me my present, and he didn't wake me up. And in the morning, still, I didn't get my present. And then my mom told us, like, Dad's not going to be here to take you guys to school. So then we realized, like, something was off again. Then he spent the next year and some in jail awaiting his trial. Many people attended his trial, many people in the community. Many people had vigils every single night asking the judge to have leniency on my father. The day of the sentencing, I went to a private Islamic school, but the day of the sentencing, several of the grades of the older kids, they took us all down just in solidarity. And unfortunately, my dad was sentenced to 180 months, which was 15 years, and he did serve an additional 9 months in ICE detention. But that was half of what the prosecutors were asking for. During this whole trial and during the months leading up to the trial, he was in solitary confinement, true solitary confinement, at Rensselaer County Jail. After that, he was sent to several prisons. Some of them were absolutely terrible to him. Finally, he was placed in a CMU, which is a communication management unit, where communication within and outside of the prison is extremely limited. It's like a form of solitary confinement, but instead of being by yourself in a cell for 24 hours a day, you're with a couple of bunkmates. But you're not really allowed to speak to your family or have visits, zero contact visits. The prisons were also very far away. I think at one point I didn't visit my father for 5 years because it was just so far away. We didn't have a car. We didn't have money for flights. After spending several years in one CMU, he was transferred to another one. So there's only two, and he had spent time in both of them, in Indiana and in Illinois.
We are quickly running out of time. What does going through an experience like this as a child do to a person?
I think it's definitely a lot of trauma to deal with as a child. I don't want to speak for my siblings and talk about their experiences.
How are you? How is your family?
Now we're okay. Now we're all okay. My parents are living in Kurdistan. My brothers and sister and I are all doing very well. But for a long time, we suffered as a family. This really did break my mother's heart. Break my father's heart. We did suffer a lot as a family, suffer growing up. My father was our main provider, and we had lost that. But now we're all adults, except with the exception of my sister. The rest of us are adults, and we are so thrilled that our father is free and back in his homeland, and he's publishing so many books. I think he published 5 books since he has been released.
So Masood Haq created this film after your father and Hussein were released from prison. Was this experience, reframing the narrative around the case, was it a cathartic experience?
It definitely is heartwarming to see support and see that reframing of the tale that was told. From the beginning, from the very beginning, from my father's arrest, the local newspapers, the majority of them were mostly on my father's side and calling the trial a witch hunt. A lot of them were just able to see through the lies that the FBI were telling because they were so out there. It was so open. It was so easy to see through if you would just look at the actual details of the case, because there was really no evidence against my father. So from the beginning, we did also see those narratives, which we are very grateful for. There have been documentaries about my father made both here and in Kurdistan. Al Jazeera has published an article about my father after his arrest, calling the whole trial a sham. Not the trial, but the whole case in general a sham. And yes, all of these articles, all of the support is certainly cathartic, and we are very grateful for it and grateful for people who choose to see the truth.
Alaa Muhideen, thank you so much for sharing this very personal story with us. Is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with?
I just want to say thank you all for listening and for keeping an open mind and for being willing to hear and see a different narrative than what is initially being told to you. At the end of the day, you can make your own decisions and you can make a judgment for yourself, but thank you for just being open to the fact that there is a different side to the story.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.